well, first, John, thank you for an unusually kind introduction. I really appreciate that. And I can't help but reflect the first time I came, shortly after I was elected. Bunch invited me. And I was becoming accustomed to security, which, of course, I never had before. State policemen that drive me around, and we came in late. I remember it. It was dark. I suppose we were supposed to be here at 4:30 and got here about 4 to 5 or something like that. Punch was out of his mind, and he runs out on the street as we double park right out here, and he says, "I could kill you." And because, of course, the officer didn't know Punch, and he reaches for his gun. And I suppose I get a little nostalgic because matter of fact, I know I am, because this is the last year of my term as governor. Let me quote a couple of other things. I can't recall who said them, but they were certainly noted individuals. And listening to John's quotes, that talking, first of all, someone was describing, as a Frenchman, as I remember, about our democracy. And he described it as all sail and no anchor. And I think that's a fairly apt description of what we've got going here. Someone else was describing it in a different way, and speaking of, this must have been a British, because I recall it was one of these magnificent sailing vessels with sails all unfurled, furled and flags flying, and it would hit a rock and sink. However, he said a democracy is different to that. It's like a raft. He says you have to work at it, and every once in a while you have to get your feet wet, but it never sinks. So I guess that's a good description of what things are all about. Let me describe what I want to say to you, and it's probably my last opportunity. I don't know, maybe one more time this year, if you can take it, and I can take it, I don't know. Let me describe this somewhat as a report to the stockholders. Because I feel in a great measure that many, if not most of you, have contributed to my election and re-election, and certainly as those who are truly interested in what happens in the state of Oregon, and particularly in regard to the economy of our state, I think that might be most appropriate. So, a report to the stockholders. And let me start off by presuming that the last 7 years is 1 year, and I'm telling you what has happened within that period of time. When I became elected governor, I had some very defined goals in mind, things that I wanted to do. Now, of course, you've heard of the promises that I've made. Incidentally, I kept more track of my promises than anyone else did. And we kept track of them in my office, and I said, okay, let's make sure we write them down. And incidentally, I would tell you that we performed and completed all the promises that I made during the course of my election. No one else took tally, but I thought it was important. But beyond that, let me say to you that the kinds of things that I brought to the governorship were things that I was aware of that were necessary in Oregon and that I was determined to do something about. First, wanted to make sure that the administration, meaning the governor and all down the line, were totally committed to full economic development in the state of Oregon. Not just the words of saying so. I don't wish to demean my predecessor, certainly not my call and straw, but I think at times they were quite tentative about their support for unrestrained, I say that meaning personal unrestraint, for economic development. I said, we have to send the word out. This administration is totally on the side of economic development. And many of you have heard me say, then starting in 1979, I said Oregon was open for business, and we proceeded. That was the overt or the thing that you saw. You would have to agree, as I certainly knew, both as a businessman and certainly as a legislator, that the image of Oregon was lousy. There were those who didn't know where Oregon was, nor thought about Oregon at all, but then those who did think about Oregon had a bad view in regard to it. And again, if we wanted to get in the game of trying to hold our businesses in Oregon and to attract new businesses in the state of Oregon, we have to change that image. Now these, of course, how you do that, you're businessmen enough to know that it's very easy to get a bad image and very hard to get rid of a bad image and establish a good one. Nonetheless, we proceeded and embarked on that. I was dedicated to emphasizing the human resource in Oregon. We as Oregonians are very proud of our natural resource. I think it's also fair to say that McCall and Straub were those that waved the flag of natural resources around the world. And I don't object to that. As a matter of fact, I was a party to much of what happened during the course of that time. But I kept thinking to myself that we were ignoring the one reason we were trying to make Oregon livable, and that was for the people who lived here. And I said that I'm going to dedicate myself to making sure that the human resource at least was on equal par with the natural resource. That means our enthusiasm for the human resource. I wanted to return government to common sense. Government was doing things that nobody else would do, nor would they do it in the way anyone else would do it. It was incredible. The kinds of answers that were coming from state government and the way they did business was incredibly very, very bad nonsense. I said, common sense is the byword, and that's what we're going to work on. One of the ways, of course, you achieve that, and I was also dedicated to it, and that was to remove the strangulation. I said, Oregonians certainly will go by rules and regulation, but they will not stand for strangulation. And I proceeded and embarked on that course. Part of our commitment to economic development, obviously, was the need for diversifying the economy of our state, which we all would agree is significant and important. And then, I feel quite independent in the sense that I've gone through the fires, I've paid my apprenticeship, I've learned how this process is all about, I'm a businessman. And when it came my turn to be a swing vote on any piece of legislation, I was going to challenge all nonsense in legislation. Well, let's talk about some of this. But let me first establish the background for you. You know it. I just want to reestablish it. When I became governor of Oregon, Jimmy Carter was president. While I was governor of Oregon, while he was president of the United States, I should say, because I've still been outlasted him. You will recall that inflation was running at the rate of 13%, and that the prime rate was, varies, but certainly at least 21%. And you know as well as I do, particularly in relation to the prime rate, that whenever that prime rate interest or any of that interest goes up, Oregon is the leading sufferer. How many times have I said, you've watched, as the federal government in the years past try to cool off the economy, we've heard that word before. And they would always do that by raising interest rates, and whenever they would cool down the economy, Oregon would get pneumonia. And obviously we got pneumonia in the worst way. Reagan came in, has a lot of policies and things that he wanted to achieve and the kinds of directions he wanted to take this nation, and of course among them was to stop the inflation. And you and I know clearly what happens during the course of stopping inflation, which he did and brought down. There was a series of job losses, and so we then hit. But the combination of Carter's 13% inflation, 21% prime rate, Reagan's reducing the inflation, and the recession hit Oregon and hit the United States. I've said so many times before, if I wanted to pick 2 terms, 8 years as a governor of Oregon, I certainly wouldn't have picked these 8 years. They had to be the toughest 8 years in your life and in my life that any governor has ever faced. And they were tough. Today, of course, you know and I know that some states have rebounded. They really have. Some of my colleague governors have unemployment rates well below 5% and have had. California has bounced up rather quickly. Oregon is recovering, no question about it, but very slowly. Today, I would add, just for a matter of information, that we are at 7.4% unemployment. That's high in a normal circumstance, but we were in 1982 at 12.6%. However, I would say to you that many of the states that have recovered, have rebounded, were prepared for that rebounding. And Oregon was not. Oregon was not, in the sense that we weren't even in the ball game in terms of getting rid of strangulation, getting rid of the bad image that we had. And I'm not surprised that we have developed as slowly as we have. I'm as impatient as you are. And of course, I think in the terms of what I have to do, probably more impatient, because the kinds of things that I need to get done are very hard to do in the atmosphere with which I deal. I mean, mainly, the Oregon legislature is a very difficult body to deal with. And certainly trying to change a bureaucracy is very difficult. I did manage to move into changing the bureaucracy right away because I knew a lot of people. I knew were the right people to deal with. I knew the kinds of things I wanted done in my agencies. I picked the people to do that job, and I've told you before, I know I have, and I've told other audiences, I'm very proud of my directors of state government, that the kind of people you would hire, and I consider that to be the major compliment I can give them. During this period of time, there's no way I can draw for you the enormous amount of my time, my emotional energies, and the time and the emotional energies of my directors of state government in just trying to keep our budget balanced. It's maybe hard for you to understand, but maybe walk in my shoes for a moment, and let's go to 1982. Incidentally, I called special session in 80 and 3 in 1982 for the purposes of rebalancing the budget. But in 1982, we were in the 81-83 budget, and we had to rebalance it in 1982. At the same time, we were developing the budget for 83-85, and so we were on a double course. The agencies had to take the budget they had, we had to rebalance it, we had to make cuts. At the same time, the agencies were beginning to develop their budget for the next session of the Oregon legislature. An enormous amount of personal time. Now, many governors would not have given their own personal time to this as I did, but I happen to be one that likes to get my hands on. I want to know what's going on. I want the decisions to be mine. If there's going to be criticisms, they'll be mine. And so I sat there and made decisions. And there's no way I really can share with you, unless the torment you've gone through in your own business and the kinds of things that you had to do to keep your business going, and just begin to imagine the largest business in the state of Oregon, 45,000 employees, a branch in every county and most cities of the state, and of course serving the citizens of the state, and trying to keep that budget going. Historical perspective. Since 1859, there have been 8 special sessions called for the single purpose of rebalancing the budget. There have been more special sessions, but just for the purpose of rebalancing the budget, there have been 8. I called 4 of the 8. I called 3 in 1 year. And so you get a sense of what was going on. But at the same time, I never lost sight of the fact of those things I told you about initially. Changing the image of Oregon, looking for diversification, returning government to common sense, getting rid of regulation. I never lost sight of that at the same time trying to do this other job. Let's now get into it a little bit. I've got some things I want to share with you, and then I want you to ask some questions. First, economic development. I turn to my Department of Economic Development, which, if you look at the history of it, has really been kicked around. It really has been. It's never had such stable longevity in its entire history as it has under my administration. And I began to build this department and fill it with professionals. That takes a while to get that job done. Let me share with you a personal aside. When one of our early cases we had, and we didn't have too many in my early days of the administration, and I had my Department of Economic Development come in and help us as we dealt with that prospect, and I have to be sure with you, it was damned embarrassing. They were very unprofessional. And I said, this is never, ever going to happen again. And it never, ever has. We built the department, gave them more budget, more personnel. We beefed up their professionalism. We moved the tourism office, one of our major industries that had been hidden over in the Department of Transportation, and we took it over and put it in economic development. We've opened up a Japan office. I have from almost the very beginning had an Oregon-Korea Economic Council. We just established, I would add, a China Commission. We have a vault, a small business section, international trade section. We established a land bank, commuter land bank. We have in our office, from all over the state, available properties, what services they have, what people they contact. As a matter of fact, it was interesting that, although it's not a new idea, before it was 1 year old, it was nationally recognized for the best and fastest in the nation. I can't tell you enough in terms of what I call my action council. I've described it to you before. But it was my way of quickly getting to the what businesses needed. I said to you, and I'll tell you again, make sure you know it, if you need the services, this is not designed just for companies coming in from outside the state. If you need their services, let me know, but what is it? The easiest way I can describe it to you is if you go to the President of the United States and say, Mr. President, I want to build a plant in the United States. He says, fine, I will call my cabinet together, and you sit down and tell them what your needs are, and we'll see what we can do to help you. That's what my action council is. And I established that about 5 years ago. And we had our prospects, and that would mean, I would have to tell you as well, Oregon prospects that wanted to expand or move, as well as those from outside the United States. My department heads, DEQ, LCDC, Fish and Wildlife, Land Board, Revenue, Economic Development, Commerce, they would be sitting there and say, okay, what is it you want to do? How can we help you get the job done? Incidentally, I've suggested that to mayors, I've suggested that to county commissioners. Unfortunately, very few have taken me up on it. The fact is that we began to make that turn. We began to change the image of the state of Oregon. The visits that I've made overseas, and I've been ribbed about them a considerable length, have been extremely productive. Extremely productive. And incidentally, for your information, it's interesting how you get a reputation, Trader Vic and all the rest. I have been away at an average of 2 weeks a year since I've been governor of Oregon in overseas trade missions. 2 weeks a year. And when I think back on it, I think it's rather incredible how much we were able to do with that average of 2 weeks a year. What we did do, and what I can tell you for sure, and many of you have been over to Japan, Korea, and Taiwan, some into China, that Oregon has come from nowhere to really somewhere. Oregon has changed from a state, and I remember this because I was there, that we were, and I felt rather weak about, competing against Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Washington. These were among the states we were competing. Today, we are the threat. They are competing against us. That's the fact. Things have changed. The image of Oregon is changing. It's almost changed entirely. In most quarters, it has changed internally. 1984, I'll tell you how frustrated you can get. Among my travels, I was in the Middle East, as you know, and I went, I heard come visit, don't stay in Saudi Arabia. Now, that's just about as far as you can go. But the fact is that we are changing. The image is changing. We are competing. We are a state that is constantly has prospects before us. We had very few prospects, hardly any, when I became governor of the state. Let me give you an idea. Our current status, 195 new business inquiries handled in December, including 158 from two trade shows. We have 61 what we call current cases. And out of those current cases, that means the hottest of them, 12 are in the hottest category, and that's what we call active. The cases are spread across 20 different standard industrial classifications, including wood products, paper, metals, machinery, and electronics. Not all, just electronics. And I would tell you, their interest is not just in the metropolitan area, but around the state of Oregon. That's incredible. That truly is incredible. In 1984, as you remember also, NEC decided that they would come to Oregon and I only want to make particular highlight of NEC. NEC America was the first major Japanese company, well, it's the first Japanese company, to actually make a capital investment in Oregon. Now, we've had many Japanese companies here, trading companies in the main, and of course we had the Bank of Tokyo. But NEC, a manufacturing plant, first one, but the particular note was that they made that decision before we repealed the unitary tax. We've had then, since then, two Fujitsus. They are not a single company. They made an independent decision, Fujitsu Microelectronic and Fujitsu America. Both decided for Oregon and Epson as well. NEC, incidentally, is producing their product and shipping it right now. Fujitsu and Epson are in the process of building their building. Oregon, in 1985, was cited as the leading the nation in electronic industry growth. So things are happening, and I'm very proud of what's happened, figuring the kind of baggage that we were working on and trying to develop during the period of our shortfall, our recession, balancing the budget, and all the rest. Oh, incidentally, as an aside, I do want to tell you that I have averaged 35,000 miles in Oregon annually, that is, visiting Oregonians. I say that because I'm very proud of that. I believe a governor needs to represent Oregonians. You've got to get out there and talk to them. And that's what I've done. But let's talk about jobs. You recall a CETA replaced by Job Training Partnership Act. Incidentally, CETA, I think, was in great disrepute, and deservedly so. However, in Oregon, it was doing fairly well. However, we moved to Job Training and Partnership Act. Last year, September, the National Alliance of Business awarded the Oregon Job Training Partnership Act as the best program in the United States. They selected us. That act put more than 7,200 Oregon adults back to work in 1985. That's an incredible record. They trained them, retrained them, and got them jobs. Since 1983, we've awarded block grants worth $34 million, 226 projects, created 3,000 jobs. $10 million of block grants went to businesses. The important part here is that I said that that should not be paid back to the state. That should be paid back to the either county or city that asked for that loan. And there's $10 million out there that of economic development money around the state of Oregon, not to be recycled back to the state. Well, all in all, 88,000 Oregonians have gone back to work since 1982. And our seasonal unemployment rate is the lowest in the past 6 years. Those are the kinds of things that have happened. I can go on in regard to the kinds of good things that have occurred. It's very hard. I've got a whole sheaf of material, and you don't have the time, nor do you probably have the patience to listen to all of it. But the kinds of things that have occurred in state government to make this job a lot easier for Oregon to proceed into its future. I've done it again. Let's see if, Denny, my briefcase. If you raise the flap, you know where it is? You raise the flap, and right in the back, at the top of the flap, is my Department of Commerce stuff. I want to visualize for you something I visualized in my State of the State address, and it shows you, oh, it's only one example, the kinds of things I think would make you very proud of what's happening in state government. We've done a considerable amount of reorganization. We've created the Senior Services Division, as I told you about moving tourism over to the Oregon Department of Transportation. Let me say one of the things that gives me the greatest pride, and I think you as well. There wasn't a thing called an Employee Suggestion Awards Program. That was on a statute. It had been laid idle for a long time. I decided that I can't do the job that I need to get done, and I was very anxious to get the job done. I knew I was limited, 4 years or 8 years at the most. My tenure as president of the company is already decided, four or eight at the most. And so I cranked this thing up. Let me tell you, just I'll capsulize it. 5,296 suggestions. We've adopted 1,136 of those. We made 128 cash awards, and let me explain that to you. They were eligible for 10% of what they saved in tax dollars, up to $5,000. We paid out $80,875 on that basis. But The total annual savings is over $2,500,000. And that's what the state employees have done. Besides the tax savings, though, I think it's even more important. They've improved their service to you, the customer. That's the way I look at it. And they have done a much better job in performing their function, and they're happier about their job. Kedundrin is going to come to visit Oregon. Many of you know about Kedundrin, but let me explain it. It is the most influential organization in Japan, of the leading businesses in Japan. They came 2 years ago. I heard they were coming. I wrote them a letter. I said, come to Oregon. They were going to visit 25 states. They replied back, yes, we'll come to Oregon. This time, about a month ago, our consul general called me, Tanaka, and said, I have, and this was incidentally at home at night.
Program produces patentable items, patent right, processor inventions, such facts have been promptly recorded. Unless a prior agreement shall return a patent rights, that's only patents. Oh, for the grant results in a book or other copyrightable.